نعم، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على محمد رسول الله سيد الأولين والآخرين وإمام الأنبياء والمرسلين والشافع المشفع يوم الدين والرحمة المهداة للعالمين وعلى آله الطيبين وأزواجه الطاهرات أمهات المؤمنين وصحابته غر الميامين وخلفائه الأربعة الراشدين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي ومن استنى بسنتهم واهتدى بهديهم إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، قبل أن نبدأ before we begin there is a question left from yesterday. قلنا here in the West, when someone has a problem with someone, rather than go to them and advise them, they go to a third person and backbite about that person, about the problem they have with them. Can you please advise the brothers and sisters on the harm this causes within the Muslim community and mistake of this method? نعم، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله نبينا محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام. الله عز وجل حرم الغيبة والنميمة. الله تعالى backfiring and slandering. وأمر المسلمين بأن يبتعدوا عن عنه. الله تعالى commanded the Muslims to stay away from that. وكذلك فإن الله سبحانه وتعالى قد نهى عن الاستماع لهؤلاء المغتابين والنمامين. أن الله تعالى forbid for us to listen to these backbiters and slanderers. قال سبحانه وتعالى الله سبحانه وتعالى سيد كما في سورة القلم ولا تطع نعم قال الله عز وجل كما في سورة القلم قال ولا تطع كل حلاف مهين هماز مشاء بنميم مناع للخير معتد أثيم. ما تعالى يعني described them and named them. He said to the Prophet ﷺ, do not listen to one who swears but he is liar. Hamaz, he belittling the others. Hamaz is the one who belittles the others and yani speak about them in a way to dishonor them. Masha'im binamin. Masha' here means he walks a lot. He cuts long distances for the sake of backbiting and slandering. That's it. Masha'im binamin. Yani yamshi bayna al-nas binamin. He just two around and go around and go around the Muslims just to cause the fitna and problems between them. So Allah Ta'ala is telling the Prophet ﷺ, don't listen to him, don't obey him. And then he described this person who walks with fitna and namima and ghiba, backbiting, etc. He described him by manna'in lil khayr. He is someone who prevents the khayr, the goodness. He prevents it intentionally. Mu'tadin, and he is aggressive. Athim, he is a sinner. فلذلك ينبغي الإنسان أن يتقي الله عز وجل ويبتعد عن الغيبة والنميمة فإنها لا خير فيها. That's why the Muslim should stay away from the ghiba and namima, as it is, it has no good in it. Wallahu a'lam. You have the question.
You mentioned yesterday that it's permissible if one thinks the Muslim person to put part of the eyebrow colored into a different color to make it look cleaner. Is it permissible for them to do that in front of other people, even other than Muslims?
Other people, you mean the men?
Yeah.
No, it's, they are not allowed to show their faces to other people with or without. With or without any makeups, any touches of beauty, they're not allowed. Even when they just awake from, when they just wake up, where they need to wash their faces, even before they wash their faces, they're not allowed to show their faces to non-mahram men. Now, rather than they go and make up and beautify themselves and then we say they go out exposing it, this is even more worse. Now, however, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu saw a woman in one of the roads of Medina, one of the streets of Medina at that time, wearing some type of perfume. She's covered, but he could have smelled the perfume. He said to her, "Sister, you go back home and take shower because you committed zina." Where's the zina? Where's the zina? She did not practice it. But by wearing perfume, she is going to seduce men. So what about when she exposed her face? What about when she exposed her face after she had done makeup? And it's even worse than just wearing perfume or showing face out to stranger men. No, when the Sharia permitted the woman to show her eyes, it is only to see the road, the way, the street. Now, as if she wants to put makeup and use some instead, they put some color, some eye, the contact lens, with color, just to beautify themselves. Now, they are not allowed to do that and come out and say, "Okay, we're covering our face, we're just doing niqab," meaning the hole around the eye. You say, no, that is not correct, because by that you are also showing your beauty to the Allah. Azza wa Jalla said, "Wala yubdina zinatahunna." "Wala yubdina zinatahunna." Let them not to show their beauty. Illa ma dhahara minha. Except what? Essentially will be seen. Essentially will expose. ما معنى هذا؟ إذا الله عز وجل جعل لها عينين خضروين ماذا تفعل؟ If Allah created there with two green eyes أو زرقاوتين or blue eyes, what can she do? She cannot change it. No? But she does not do it intentionally to beautify her eyes and then cause fitna to the men. Yeah, wallahi a'lam. Tayyib. We'll continue inshallah on the topic of the rulings of women. من الأحكام نكمل مع الأحكام أحكام النساء تكلمنا بالأمس عن لباس المرأة. We spoke yesterday about the way the woman should dress. وقلنا بأنه ينبغي أن لا يكون لباس فيه تقليد للكافرات والفاسقات. We said that it must not be in a way or another يعني cloth that she imitated the kuffar women or the fasaq women. نعم, the disobedient who do not respect their religions, their religion. But she dresses in a good way. No problem to wear good clothes, nice clothes, beautiful clothes, but not يعني attractive clothes to the men. And even if she wants to wear nice and good clothes, she's not allowed to expose them to the men. Yeah? And even if it is only within the women, within the parameter of women, environment of women, she's not allowed to wear what can expose any part of her body, not exposed by the meaning that it is short, but it it size it, like tight clothes, nah, that is not allowed to. Nah, Allah Alaihi Wasallam. Nah. When the woman, she's not allowed to, what do you call that? She's not allowed to half her hair, gather to the back or to one side, so she, can show it from under the niqab. Now that's not allowed, but she must either braid it or lose it and make it, just lay down to the shoulders and back. That is how she should do it. Wallahu a'lam. Because anyway, this is another way of attraction to the men. طيب. Also from what the women do as to purify themselves is the مما يفعله النساء ما يسمى بعاد الطلاء الذي يجعل على الأظافر. This colors that they put on their nails الذي يسمى بالعربي مناكير, وهي مناكير منكر. In Arabic they call it manakir, which is plural of munkar, and it's true, it's munkar. خصوصا إذا كانت تخرج بها في الطريق. Especially when the Muslim woman puts this nail color and come out with it, exposing it to the men. This is then munkar, because it's a way of attraction. نعم. نعم. وأسوأ من ذلك إطالة هذه الأظافر. And worse than that, having the finger, the nails not cut, and they leave them to extend long. That is even bad and worse. And it can't even harm the woman because it collects dirt underneath. Aikum sir. Whether or whether not it catch dirt, because some of them say that we clean them all the time. You say, even if you clean them, the Prophet ﷺ said that this is not from the fitrah of mankind. This is not from the nature of mankind to have their nails grow up, and they have to trim them every other time. Now, we talked yesterday about the hair dyeing by black color, and we said that the proper ruling on that is when the woman is not dyeing it with black for the purpose of changing the gray color to black. And if the woman has originally black color, right, and she has some gray hair now, and she wants to dye it, we say you cannot dye it with black color. With any other color, no problem. But if the woman has yani blonde, say she's blonde, now, she doesn't, yani her hair is not black anyway, and she wants to dye it to black, no problem. No problem, as many scholars say. But it is better not to choose black. But if it is from blonde to black, no problem. Because she is not dying it for the purpose to show that she is not old. Now, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, غيروا هذا الشيء وجنبوه السواد وجنبوه. هذا يدل على أن غير الشيء لا بأس إذا استخدم له السواد. Isa Salam said, change this shape. Shape is the gray hair that grows due to age and like that. And then he said, but when you dye it, when you change it, when you dye it, avoid the black color. Why? Because most of the people, their hair is black. So when it is black and it has gray hair, and you dyed with black, that means yani, you're going to look like you have no any signs of age. Huh? That's not allowed. That's not allowed. Also from the advices given to the sister in the issue of beauty, is that when a sister is having extra weight, they insist to drop it, and then and insist to lose it, but then they go to fitness house, and there she is going to expose yani, her body part to other women. Yani, she says, okay, within the woman, she says, no. It's not permissible even in the parameter of women. Unless if it is with loose clothes, that is a different thing. But yani you can lose yani the weight by yani controlling your food and like that. But anyway, she must yani take care of her modesty from being lost or damaged. It is not permissible for the woman to remove the excessive hair on her body it is recommended that the woman removes the excessive hair which grows on her body, like the arms, the legs, and like that, by any means. Yeah, and even if she has, although some scholars like Sheikh Al-Bani says that if the woman has a mustache or a beard, she cannot remove it. And I say, no, she will have to remove it. She will have to remove it. No? Because although this is grown and just like that from Allah Ta'ala, but she is told to be different from the man and to be smooth, and by beard the woman looks, you know, looks ugly. Woman never look good with beard, as the man never look good without. As Aisha radiallahu anha used to, whenever she used to swear, she used to say, by the one who beautified the men with beard, with the beard. Now, but she is not allowed, as we said yesterday, she is not allowed to do the nums or pick the hairs of the eyebrow, either by picking it or using a machine or a paste. It's not allowed. But dyeing it by skin color, يعني skin color, skin color, no problem. And then she can do it again. If يعني some women have big eyebrows and they think we look in, it looks يعني not that beautiful. So and they want to beautify themselves, no problem. As many sheikhs said, like Sheikh Uthaymeen and others, to use any يعني to use a color thing over the eyebrows, which is the same color of the skin, and then they either thin, يعني make it thinner, or يعني they draw it again, no problem. Because they are not changing any it from any the origin state of it and leaving it, but they are dying it with the color. Now, and also the woman is not allowed to make tattoos. Like many women today, they make the tattoos. This is haram. This is haram. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, "لعن الله الواشمات والمستوشمات." May Allah's curse be upon the one who asked and who go and ask for this to be done for her, the tattoos, and the one who does it for the woman. Both are cursed. نعم نعم حنة, yes, حنة is allowed because حنة is something temporary. نعم نعم and also she's not allowed to do something called in Arabic تفليج. تفليج is to drill between the teeth to make them look nice, not due to dental treatment. It's just because of beauty. That's haram, as the Prophet said in the same hadith, which is in Sahih Bukhari, on the third of Ibn Mas'ud رضي الله تعالى عنه, لعن الله الواشمات والمستوشمات والنامصات والمتنمصات والمتفلجات الحسن المغيرات خلق الله عز وجل. So the woman who asked for drilling between the teeth to make them look much more nicer, this is haram. But if the woman is suffering of straight teeth, for example, teeth indicating R or N, and this is and causing her difficulty in eating, showing, no problem, she go to the dentist and they can do whatsoever needed to make it act better, not make it look better, because it's a treatment, it's only to make it function better. And also, if she goes to the dentist and because she has a toothache and the dentist needed to drill one of the teeth from the side in order to do his treatment, this is okay because the purpose here is not because I hear some woman hesitated. She said, no, I'll stay with the pain because it's not allowed to cut between the teeth. She said, no. The thing that is not allowed is when you do it willingly for beauty, but if it is for treatment, no problem. This is wanted in the Sharia. This is liked by the Sharia. And that's why in the Sharia we are told to use the siwak to keep it white and clean. What do we mean by white? Nobody is created or born with a brown teeth. but it is an accumulation of food. Right? So, if they need to wipe it up, no problem. No problem. Even if it is by the machine at the dental clinic, no problem. No? No. The rings, alaykum salam, which are allowed for women to do is the earrings, right? The earrings. But as many women today, they do nose ring and lips ring and navel ring and more worse than that. That is not from the Sharia. Not allowed in the Sharia. That is not from beauty. And besides that, it is not allowed. It can harm them. It can harm them. Not like the ear. No? So the Muslim woman should not imitate. That's what we always say. Should not imitate. There is a big imitation from a Muslim woman to the non-Muslim woman, and from the woman who is practicing, imitating the woman who is not practicing. And that is wrong. We mercy Abun and guide her to the way of the mothers of believers and the wives of the companions, meaning practicing. You should consider yourself the guide and example for others, not the imitator. You go and follow others and imitate them. No, they should be following you in the goodness you have. Now, the woman also has some duties to do. For example, towards her Lord, we said yesterday that she has to seek knowledge that makes her. Worship Allah properly. Yani, it is not correct to say that she is not allowed to go and seek. Fight with their husbands and fathers and like that to go out for seeking knowledge. What knowledge? She wants to seek knowledge of advanced Arabic and advanced aqidah, advanced fiqh, advanced. Now, she knows. This is not obligatory. This is not obligatory. I want you to insist that you have to do it. This is my right. Now, she knows. Your right is to learn what makes you pray correctly. Fast correct, and like this, the worships you do day by day. Now, and in these worships, you need to learn how to do them. For example, the Salah. Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ahzab, Ayah 33, وَأَقِمْنَا الصَّلَاةَ. When he directed the speech to the mothers of believers, the wives of Rasulullah, he said, وَأَقِمْنَا الصَّلَاةَ. In Arabic, أَقِمْنَا is the na is the na sound. This is called noon. That is called noon and niswa. That is a pronoun for female plural. So this command is directed to the female, to the woman. Now it is a pronoun for the feminine, plural feminine. Now, so Allah Ta'ala is commanding the woman to do this iqamatu salah. She needs to know how to perform iqamatu salah. What I mean by iqamatu salah is not, it is not the call to start the salah. La, iqamatu salah means to perform the salah correctly. She's like the man. Both of them have to perform the prayer correctly. They will not know that unless they go and seek the knowledge. Now, so she has to seek the knowledge. And she has to constantly pray. Not whenever she is free. Now, and here one one another thing. When the sister puts up the makeup, and when she puts the makeup, right, she has to remember that this makeup prevents water from reaching the skin. So if she wants to put the makeup and come to the masjid, or she goes to somewhere, knowing that there is another salat time coming, and then she loses her wudu, some of them, they just let the water run over this so they don't damage it. Or they might go to the extent that they do tayammum. Why? Because she doesn't want to damage the makeup she made. You say, no. You have to remove all this now. You have to remove. You have to wash it out, clean it out completely. Remove it completely. And then perform wudu. Now, nah, nah. Yeah, she's allowed. Yeah, but if before Asr, she lost wudu, now she has to remove all this and make wudu. Now. And when she comes to pray, she has to pray in what we call it the khimar. And the khimar is what covers the whole body except the face and hands. Naam. لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said in the hadith reported by the Dawood, Nisa'i, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, and Imam Ahmad. لا يقبل الله صلاة حائض إلا بخمار. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saying that Allah is not accepting a prayer from a woman who reached the age of menstruation, the age of maturity, except with the khimar. لكن قبل هذا ليس واجب الخمار لكن أفضل. Before age of maturity, it's not obligatory that one has to pray in khimar, but it is better, so it be familiar with the khimar. Also, Abu Dawood reported on the authority of Umm Salama, the mother of believers, the wife of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, that she asked Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, can a woman pray in something called dir' and khimar without izar? Dir' is a dress that goes from the shoulders to the ankles. Now, the Prophet ﷺ said, if this dir' is that long, that covers the whole body, then no problem. Even without izar. Izar is the lower garment, like skirting or trouser or whatsoever. Now, so the woman has to cover up her body, except for the face and hands. She must uncover them in the prayer, except if there is in the presence of non-mahram, the like of praying in Makkah, for example. There is no specific place for a woman to pray. Woman can be seen. So in that case, she has to cover her face. She has to cover. But the Prophet ﷺ said, yeah, but the mothers of believers who used to be the wives of Rasulullah, used to be with Rasulullah all the time, they explained how it should be practiced. Who would understand this better? Them or you today? Of course them. Because they used to do that at the presence of Rasulullah ﷺ, and he did not say that this is wrong. Now, the woman is allowed to pray in congregation, even between the sisters only, but should not be something that they take constantly and every fault like the men. Alaykum as-salam. Barakallahu fi. It's not like the men, every fault they come together and pray jama'ah. this become an innovation, a bid'ah. And some sisters insist that, okay, a sister say, I have no husband, alhamdulillah, I'm old, my husband died, or I'm divorced on time, like that, she says, okay, sisters, you all are welcome to come to my house for 5 times prayers, and we pray together. Say, no, no, this is not correct. And in one country that I visited, they showed me, and you know that some of them, like the Hanaf, they don't allow the woman to come to the masjid at all. Right? So the woman insisted to have a masjid. So they have a masjid. They had a masjid. And when I visited that country, I saw the sign. The brothers took me to see. The sign said, Masjidun Nisa. It's not a section of a masjid. No. It's an independent masjid. The mahrab, 5-10 prayers. How come that? Alhamdulillah, it's changed now. It has changed now. So the sisters understood that it is not permissible like that. Now,
they own their family, like sisters, maybe the mothers, their daughters, and they pray together every
day. No, regularly not. But if sometime, no problem. But to take that something regularly, consistently, This needed a deen. Did the Sahaba, their families, have mother and daughters and sisters? Yes. Did they used to pray in Jama'ah regularly? No. Answer is no. So,
what is the house? Like a man from the house is there, and then he's talking to Muslim. Then find out what he thinks.
Yeah, if there is different opinion between the scholars whether a man praying with his wife considered to be jama'ah or not. But what we choose of amongst all these different opinions is the opinion that says it is jama'ah. It is jama'ah. But again, it should not be constantly. No, it should not be all the time he refers to pray home because the masjid is far. And we yesterday, in the second lecture of the Adam of the Masajid, the etiquette of the Masajid, we mentioned the author of Bani Salima. Bani Salima today is about 7 kilometers away from Masjid al-Nabawi. And he used to go walking in rough area and in the mountains, and he used to go walking. Mu'ad ibn Jabal used to pray with the Prophet, and he goes back to Al-Aliya where his people are, and he leads the prayer there. They wait for him to lead the Jama'ah. But he used to go. He used to go to Rasulullah. We don't say, if it is far away, then he must come. But I say, especially in such country, here in non-Muslim country, what links you to Muslims and what reminds you of Islam? You can't see it every day in the street. You can't see it. It's not like a Muslim country. You see Islam every day on the street. But here you can't see it. Very difficult to see it. So your iman goes down, 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 down. So it is better to come to the masjid. It is better to come to the masjid. As we said that the woman has a right to go to the masjid, I think it is time for it. What time we should start? The woman has the right to go to the masjid, and her husband must not stop her from going to the masjid. Mustafa here? Huh? Right, we stop here, inshallah. We continue tomorrow, بإذن الله تعالى, with the rest of the talk, inshallah. We still have tomorrow and the day after, correct? Alhamdulillah, sir. We'll have another four. For Alhamdulillah. We want to give one or two just for the Christians if they have. يعني. And the sisters, this is the, يعني, and also from the internet, if they have any questions related to the issue or the affair of the sisters, and even from the masjid. If you have even other sisters who are not coming, and they have some doubts or things to ask about, have it from her, write it and bring it, inshallah, we'll make one or two sessions for the questions. But try to bring them earlier to the administration so we can see one or two sessions would be enough for it. نعم والله أعلم صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام. Anything?